إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد قال الإمام المجدد شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب التوحيد باب ما جاء في التنجيم. I welcome all of you to our classes. Continue this morning reading from كتاب التوحيد of شيخ الإسلام الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. A new chapter, باب ما جاء في التنجيم. What is said about astronomy / astrology. This is a chapter number 29 according to the English, the numbers of the chapters in the English translation of Kitabu al-Tawheed. قال البخاري رحمه الله في صحيحه قال قتادة رحمه الله خلق الله هذه النجوم خلق الله هذه النجوم لثلاث زينة للسماء ورجوما للشياطين وعلامات يهتدى بها فمن تأول فيها غير ذلك فقد أخطأ وأضاع نصيبه وتكلف ما لا علم له به انتهى. The first proof of Imam al-Mujaddid Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala brought in this chapter is this author of Qatada, Ibn Di'am al-Sadusi. He said, that is collected by Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih, he said, Allah created these stars for three things. Decorating the heavens, number one, stoning the shayateen, number two, and signs for navigation, to know the ways, directions. Whoever interprets other than that about them, about the stars, is mistaken and missed his share, and mentioned what he had no knowledge of. And that person now is talking about no knowledge. الشرح لفضيلة الوالد الشيخ العلامة الدكتور صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى. We're still reading from al-mulakhas, the summarized explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed by our noble Shaykh al-Allama al-Doktor Salih bin Fawzan al-Fawzan حفظه الله تعالى. قال مناسبة الباب لكتاب التوحيد. As usual, if you remember, the Shaykh first he brings the relevance of this chapter in Kitabu التوحيد. قال لما كان بعض التنجيم باطلا لما فيه من دعوة مشاركة الله في علم الغيب وتعلق القلب بغير الله ونسبة التصرف إلى النجوم وذلك ينافي التوحيد وذلك ينافي التوحيد ناسب أن يعقد له باب هنا يبين فيه الممنوع والجائز منه ليكون المسلم على بصيرة من ذلك. شيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى, he explained to us and tells us why شيخ الإسلام الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى introduced this chapter in كتاب التوحيد. Because somebody just from hearing the title of the chapter, astronomy, astrology, person may say, what this has to do with Tawheed? Person may say, what this two terms has to do with the Tawheed? Sheikh Al-Fawzan explains that there is a connection. Yes, there is a connection, and these two has to do with the Tawheed. He says that because some of these astronomy It is falsehood. Some of it, not all of it. Some of it is falsehood. Why it is falsehood? It says because it entails associating with Allah others in the affairs of the unseen. And also, that's one thing, that's one aspect. Also, the heart will be attached to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these affairs. And also, those people who practice astrology, they claim that these stars have some effects on what's going on the earth and the affairs of the people. They say and they believe that because of the position of the stars with the moon, whether it's shiny or not, fading according to the phases of the moon, as we're going to learn later on, they say that's why this person is happening to this person and this event will take place. And all of this opposed Tawheed, the Shaykh says. And we understand now why he brought this chapter. Barakallahu feekum. Al-fanasaba an yu'qad lahu bab. For these reasons, it is appropriate what Shaykh al-Islam, al-Imam al-Mujaddid, Muhammad Ibn al-Wahhab have done by bringing this chapter in his book Kitab al-Tawheed, to show in this chapter that which is permissible and that which is not permissible pertaining to the use of stars, so that the Muslim have knowledge. This is a very important chapter because as we're going to learn throughout this text, alhamdulillah, with the explanation. And if I have some time, I want to read to you from another book by our noble Sheikh Salih Ibn Abdul Aziz al-Sheikh. There's some very important information pertaining to something that it's going on our days and famously spread, and in Muslim countries too, wal-iyadu billah, and which is very bad, yet people, they consider it as nothing, which is the zodiac. Okay, we're going to get to that when we get to it, inshallah ta'ala. So here he says he's bringing this chapter so that the Muslim have knowledge, have insight, when encountered with anything that talks about the stars or the use of the stars, you should know what is permissible and what is not permissible. والتنجيم الشيخ explain it, قال هو الاستدلال بالأحوال الفلكية على الحوائز الأرضية وهو ما يسمى بعلم التأثير. تنجيم, it is when certain people, they use the positions of the stars and the moon and the like, they use that to say that certain things happen on earth because of that. Wallahu huwa al-mudabbir. Yet Allah is the one who runs the affairs in the universe. And this is what is called astrology. This was called astrology. خلق الله النجوم لثلاث. يقول الشيخ الفوزان هذا مأخوذ من القرآن الكريم. Qatada said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the stars for three things. He said this is taken from the Quran. It's taken from the Quran. When he says that the stars are created for this and this and this, actually there is ayahs in the Quran that proves that. When he says zinatan lis-sama, because Qatada says a beautification, adornment, and decorating the heavens. إشارة إلى قوله تعالى في سورة الملك. The آية 5 in سورة الملك. Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحِ. And indeed, we have adorned the nearest heaven with lamps. And when he says also, رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينِ, that the stars are also for stoning the shayateen, إِشَارَةً إِلَى قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, also in Surah Al-Mulk, وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينِ, also in Surah Al-Mulk, and we have made such lamps as missiles to drive away the shayateen, the devils. قَالْ وَعَلَامَاتٍ وَعَلَامَاتٍ يُهْتَدَى بِهَا, signs of navigation, they also, the stars are created as for signs of navigation, أي دلالات على الجهات والبلدان ونحو ذلك. Yes, the stars can be used to know your direction. Where are you going? You want to go east, south, northwest, west, or east? And that's what the, especially in the desert, in the oceans, in the seas, they use that. Such star is towards the west, for example. Such star is towards the north, or the east, or the southeast, and the like. And this is found in the ayah, Surah Al-An'am, ayah number 97. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ النُّجُومَ لِتَهْتَدُوا بِهَا فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. It is He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has made stars for you to be guided in the darknesses of the bar, the land, and the sea. المعنى الإجمالي للأثر, the general explanation and general meaning of this أثر of Qatada. لأن قتادة رحمه الله يذكر الحكمة التي خلق الله من أجلها النجوم كما ذكره الله في كتابه ردا على الذين ظهروا في عصره ويعتقدون في النجوم غير ما ذكره خالقها في كتابه. He says that قتادة رحمه الله, he mentioned the wisdom behind the creation of the stars, the wisdom in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created al-nujum, the stars. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in his book, Al-Quran. And this is a refutation against those people who appears in his time, in the time of Qatada. وَيَعْتَقِدُونَ فِي النُّجُومِ غَيْرَ مَا ذَكَرَهُ خَالِقُهَا فِي كِتَابِهِ. And they believe, they have now, they introduced different belief in the stars other than what Allah has mentioned about them in His book. Just a note here, when he says في عصره, that Qatada mentioned this as a refutation to those people who appears in his time and talk about the stars and began to talk about astrology and the like. In other books, that explains, alhamdulillah, they mention that this not to be understood that this matter of using the stars and talking about the stars just occurs or was initiated in the time of Qatada, but rather it was before that. It was in the time of Jahiliyyah. If you remember, we talked about in the Kehana. And in the Sihr, in the chapter of Sihr and Magic, there is narration in which, for instance, the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man iqtabasa slatan min al-nujum fad iqtabasa slatan min al-sihr, however use the stars, he's actually doing the actions of the magicians. Okay? And also the statement of Ibn Abbas in that chapter, you go back to the chapter of sorcery and soothsaying. And so therefore they mentioned that this statement is not to be understood that this issue of using the stars for other than what Allah has created them for was originated in the time of Qatada, but rather it was known before him, and it was known something that used to be practiced by the people of Jahiliyyah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ refuted it. That's why we find a statement of Ibn Abbas and other than him, radiyallahu anhu. قال وهؤلاء يعني الذين يعتقدون في النجوم غير ما ذكره خالقها في كتابه قالوا بلا علم وأفنوا أعمارهم فيما يضرهم وكلفوا أنفسهم ما ليس في مقدورها الحصول عليه. He said these people who they believe in the stars in this way other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them for, and he mentioned in his book, these people now they speak without knowledge. And they spend a lot of time doing things that harm them. And they put on themselves tasks that they will never be able to prove to be right and to be true. وَهَذَا كُلُّ مَنْ طَلَبَ الْحَقَّ مِنْ غَيْرِ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. And this is the end of anyone who seeks the truth from other than the book and the sunnah. Anyone who seeks the truth from other than the book and the sunnah, he will be wasting his time and will be bringing things that are harmful and will never be able to prove that such thing that they are upon to be the truth, because they have not taken it from the Quran and from the sunnah. مناسبة الأثر للباب دين the Shaykh, he mentioned, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, حفظه الله, mentioned the reason why Shaykh al-Islam, al-Imam al-Mujaddid Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab رحمه وتعالى has selected this Athar of Qatada رحمه الله as a proof from the proofs in this chapter. قال أن فيه بيان الحكمة في خلق النجوم كما ذكرها الله في كتابه والرد على من زعم في النجوم حكمة تخالف ما ذكره الله فيها. Said that because in this author of Qatada rahimahullah, it shows the wisdom behind the creation of stars. It teaches us the wisdom behind the creation of stars, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in his book. And as Allah mentioned in his book, and we read to you what the Shaykh mentioned, those ayahs in Surah Al-Mulk and the ayah in Surah Al-An'am. And so therefore this is a clear refutation against anyone who claims that the creation of the stars has they are created for a wisdom other than that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. Because we're going to learn later on, because people, they use the stars for so many reasons. And other than what is instead of them to concern themselves with that which is permissible, now people, they go beyond that. And people, always there is certain people who go beyond boundaries set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, and we ask Allah firmness upon it. آمين. ما يستفاد من الأثر. What is some of the benefits from this أثر. أولا بيان الحكمة في خلق النجوم كما دل عليها القرآن. The first benefit the Shaykh mentioned from this أثر, he says this أثر highlights the wisdom behind the creation of stars as proven to by the Qur'an. The proof is in the Qur'an. This athar highlights the wisdom behind the creation of the stars as proven by the Qur'an. Number two, الرد على من زعم أن النجوم خلقت لحكمة غير ما ذكر الله فيها. Likewise, this author is a refutation against anyone who claims that the stars are created for a wisdom other than that which Allah has mentioned about. It's a clear refutation, and we can use it. We use this author when some people say, now the stars are for this or this. We say, Aina burhanukum? What is your proof that the stars were created and can be used for what you're saying? If they bring no proof, and they will have no proof, then we bring them the proof. We tell them, you cannot do this. Rather, you should limit yourself to what Allah tells us about the stars, since He the one who created them. And Allah says in Surah Al-Mulk, kada, Allah says in Surah Al-Mulk, kada, in Surah Al-An'am, kada, and here is the author of one of the great scholars in Sahih al-Bukhari. And if Allah wants good for that person will say, MashaAllah, I have no proof, you have proofs, Jazakallah khair. And that's how knowledge spread. ثالثاً أنه يجب الرجوع إلى كتاب الله لبيان الحق من الباطل. And keep in mind, we are learning these classes for us to remove the ignorance so we can know. And also, you never know, you may get in contact with somebody who believe in these things. Somebody who think it's okay. Now you tell them that it's not okay because of this and this and that, alhamdulillah. And you can even refer them to this chapter. Tell them, look, alhamdulillah, what I'm telling you is recorded. It's in a book. There is a book, Kitab al-Tawheed, and is explained by a number of many scholars. But here is one of them, Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidahullah, here is. Even give them a gift. Doesn't cost much, this book. Couple of dollars, here is. Ya akhi, gift. Read this chapter number 29, inshaAllah ta'ala. ثالثا أنه يجب الرجوع إلى كتاب الله لبيان الحق من الباطل. It is an obligation to refer matters and to take matters back to the book of Allah, because that what makes the difference between the truth and falsehood, the book of Allah, not arguments. Some people, they just sit there and argue, and whoever more eloquent, oh yeah, I got you, you got it now, so that's it, and, oh yeah, I'm with you, I'm sorry. No, it's the haqq, what Allah says. Person can talk all day, and then he said, you convinced? Said, convinced with what? You didn't even mention one ayah. Bring me what Allah says. I'll just keep talking. I can keep talking too. I'll talk until tomorrow. And we're not going to go to sleep today. And we're not going to eat. And we're not going to go to work. And our families are worried where we're at. Look, man, you don't have to take all this time. It takes a couple of minutes to settle this matter. What Allah says to me and you, we Muslims, you don't have to tell me what Allah says to us. So it's very important for us to learn, this is a principle, to turn the affairs when there is a dispute, always turn it to the book of Allah. Because that's what makes clear the truth from the falsehood. And we turn it to the sunnah, because we are commanded in the book of Allah to turn our affairs to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number four, أن من طلب الهدى من غير الكتاب والسنة فقد الصواب فقد أي أضاع فقد الصواب وضيع وقته وتكلف ما لا قدرة له في الوصول إليه. Another very important and beautiful benefit from our noble Shaykh Hafidhahullah, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan. When a person tries to seek guidance from other than the book and the sunnah, whenever a person tries to seek guidance, try to be upon guidance, but the source is other than the book is other than the book and the Sunnah, that person will never be right. They never be on the right path. And they have wasting their times. And they put in themselves a task that they will never be able to achieve. Never. Aina, never. It's like someone who's in a desert and 10 miles or more than that, like hundreds of miles of desert, and this person, he says he's going to swim to the other end. No water. How are you going to swim? So these are people, they will try to get to the truth and to be guided, but they seek in guidance from other than the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The like of the Mubtadi'ah they do. And before them, the Mushrikeen. The Mushrikeen and the Kuffar and those Muslims who, instead to learn the Quran and the Sunnah and abide by their teachings, they innovate and they follow and hold on to what their so-called Mawlana and Shaykh tell them. It's amazing. You find some Muslims, and unfortunately they are in numbers in some countries. In some countries they are maybe the majority in those Muslim countries. And whatever one man say, they call him Mawlana, Shaykh, and this, they do it without even asking a question. Who says this? So and so. That's it. They do it. But when you tell them, Allah says, they don't tell you, oh, we don't believe in the Quran. They don't say that. But they come out with so many ways, twisted ways. Oh yeah, it's in the Quran. I never heard that before. Alright, here is the Quran. Read it. I read it for you so you can hear it right now, fresh. Oh no, no, it's okay. I have a Quran at home. See? They find ways to get. And those who they know this, like, oh yeah, I read that. Actually, I memorized the Quran. Oh, you memorize the Quran? Allahu Akbar. So what? Well, now you gotta understand. We laymen, we don't understand the Quran. Our Shaykh understands for us. Whatever our Shaykh understands, and he tells us, because they tell them this Shubha, as Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, he mentioned this in one of his books. His big Shubha, that they tell the laymen, look, don't worry about reading Quran or trying to understand, because that's not for you. You have to be big Shaykh. You have to reach our level to read Quran. That's why you find them, you bring them an ayah, a clear ayah. وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. And they still, those people, they're like, no, cannot talk about this ayah, we cannot read it, because the Shaykh said so. And Shaykh Abdul Razzaq al-Abbad, he mentioned, Hafidhullah, once one of his classes, that one student of knowledge, a young man, he was in the company of this older man. This older man who's afflicted with this illness, because it's an illness, just being upon what this big Shaykh said. Who does Shaykh himself upon innovation? So he noticed that this man has some shirk in his actions and statements. So the young man, he was telling him, yeah, in a nice way, because we have to use hikmah, and he has to have leniency and gentleness when calling the people, and when correcting the evil. And he was telling him, yeah, Abati, like, oh father, like, you know, addressing him like you are like my father because of his age. Nice in a kind way, that this is an action of shirk, this is a statement that entails shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, clear ayat. But that man said, no, you can't use the Quran. When you talk to me, you cannot use the Quran. He says, why I cannot use the Quran? He asked him, he said, are you a scholar? From the big scholars? He says, no, I'm still studying. He says, see, that's why. Me and you, we're laymen. We're not allowed to use any ayat and quote any ayat as a proof. We have to reach that high level of Shaykh and Mawlana, then we can use the Quran. See, Shubha. Now you can use the ayats if you understand them clearly. As you understand the ayats, yes, that's true. You don't use any ayah and you don't understand what it is. Now once you study, alhamdulillah, the matter of shirk, for example, and these ayats are clear, and you know what they mean. The Prophet ﷺ explained them in his sunnah. The Sahaba explained, we have the statement of the Sahaba, and they are clear in the Arabic language. No confusion, no ambiguity in them. Yes, you can use them. So, this man, when he sees this older man is really into that, he left him alone. Now he's going to use another style of da'wah. Okay? Because he's going to tell the people, no, I got to use it. He's like, you cannot use it, I'm telling you. You're not going to listen to him. So he waited until a young girl was coming, bringing some tea. She brought some tea. The young man asked the older man, who is this young lady? He said, that's my daughter. MashaAllah, and he starts, his face bright, you know, that's my daughter, MashaAllah. The young man say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make her from the righteous, I mean, and preserve her, and for you, MashaAllah, make her a comfort of your eye, and this and that. The man was very happy, see? And then he said to him, the man, look, in the midst of this, he's making dua for him. Now, alhamdulillah, he's happy with him. He's the Hajjakallah khair. He says, why don't you marry her? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. The man got very angry and furious. He says, what are you talking about? He says, yeah, why don't you marry her? He says, are you crazy? Mm-hmm. You didn't hear what I said when you asked me who's this daughter? Who's this girl? No, I said, I heard you. Well, what did I say? You said, that's your daughter. And you still ask me this question? I'm asking you again. Why don't you marry her? You see? Mm-hmm. He says, because it's haram. He said, oh, it's haram. He says, yeah. Where? Who says? Allah says. And he gave him an ayah from the Quran. He said, the old man. He says, wait a minute. You and me, we cannot bring no ayahs. He said, now this is clear. He said, subhanAllah. That's clear now. Huh? He said, okay, well, the other one is clear too. Allahu Akbar. Now, my friend, people, they just use things like this. Look, and those, they so-called sheikhs, big shot sheikhs, mubtadi'ah, Sufis, they use this, the ignorant. They keep the people ignorant, so they can direct them in any way they want. But look, the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, they teach the people. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he says, I really loved if the people know all what I know. SubhanAllah. It's not like they keep the knowledge away, like the Mubtadi'ah and the Hizbiyun. They know a little bit, they don't want to tell it to the people. So they want the people to stay ignorant so they can stir them in any direction. From that is also what is, SubhanAllah, famously outspread amongst the many Muslims, is ta'assub lil madhab, being fanatic to one madhab. They teach them these things. You gotta be Hanafi, that's it. Don't listen to any Maliki, any Hanbali, any Shafi'i. Even when that someone who says, Imam al-Shafi'i says, in related to the ayah of Allah, the hadith, they don't hear anything, including the hadith. He's Hanbali and that's it. He's Shafi'i and that's it. He's Maliki and Hanafi. These people actually they're not even following this A'imma. Because all of this A'imma, as you already know, they mentioned, he says, إِذَا صَحَّ الْحَدِيثِ فَهُوَ مَذْهَبِي. If the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ sound, that's my madhab, that's it. And they say, if I say something, I may change it tomorrow. If I give a statement today, I may change it tomorrow. So see and look at our statement Whatever of it agreed with the dalil, with the proof from Quran and Sunnah, follow it. Whatever does not agree, throw it away. People still don't want to do that. And they reject the truth because of this innovation, because of this illness and this disease. The disease of shubuhat. Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhayli, our noble Sheikh Hafidhahullah, I heard him once when he was addressing this issue, he said that we should not be separated by this madahib. Naam, we benefit from them. He says, only Ahlul Sunnah, they have this miza, this characteristic. They are distinguished by it, not because they are black or white, Arab, non-Arab, rich or poor, no. From this country or the other, now they have this miza, this characteristic that they take the haqq. If the haqq in Madhab Hanafi, they take the haqq. They follow their opinion in the Madhab al-Hanafi because of the haqq. Because it is the haqq. Likewise, they take from the Madhab al-Maliki what agreed with the truth, what agreed with the book and the sunnah. And likewise. And he mentioned a story also, an incident that took place, that the young man was getting married. Alhamdulillah, everything was done, all the things done. And now they went to this imam. Imam who's muta'assib lil madhab al-Hanafi. Who's fanatic to the Hanafi madhab. This imam is Hanafi. So when this imam was the one conducting the nikah, the ceremony, and he said to the young man, say قَبِلْتُ أَنْ أَتَزَوَّجَ هَذِهِ الْمَرْأَةِ عَلَى مَذْهَبِ الْإِمَامَ بِحَنِيفَ. Say, I accept to marry this lady on the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa. Upon the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa. The young man, he says, I accept to marry this girl, this lady. The imam of the masjid says, upon the madhab of Abu Hanifa. He says, no. I don't need to say that. What I said is enough. He says, no, you gotta say upon the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa. He says, I don't have to. He says, okay, your marriage is not valid. Your nikah is batil. This imam said to that man, your marriage is not sound. Alright. Then that young man, Allah gave him some wisdom. He said to him, is that so? He says, that's the truth. Your marriage is not sound. He said, can I ask you a question, Imam? He said, go ahead. He said, okay. Please tell me, what made the nikah of the father of Abu Hanifa sound? You see, he was not on the madhab of his son. He said, tell me, what made the nikah of the father of Abu Hanifa sound? Because Abu Hanifa was not even born, so his father was not obviously on the madhab of the unborn son. So what made his crazy? So now, if Allah wants good for that person, he's going to say, repeat that. You're making a point. Yeah, subhanAllah, yeah, because not only the father, what made the marriage of the companion son? All of them, they were married upon the madhab of Abu Hanifa. So if that imam really was just making a mistake, he's going to say, subhanAllah, jazakallahu khair. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Subhanallah, we're just talking without knowledge. Jazakallahu khairan, barakallahu fi. But if he's arrogant and Allah don't want no good because man yudlilillahu, malahu min had. If Allah calls certain people to be misguided, nobody can guide them. They can listen all of the ayahs and the hadith. As Imam al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala says, he says, if someone's seeking the truth, yes, he's ignorant. But one ayah, one dalil, one proof is enough for that person. But if a person is upon falsehood and really rooted and upon misguidance, he can quote, the Sheikh, he says, 1,000 dalil. I can accept any one of them. So So it's very important for us to remember these things. Barakallahu feekum. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to be upon the right path.
Ameen.
Allah increase us in knowledge, beneficial knowledge that is taken from its proper sources, Ameen. The Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the understanding of As-Salaf As-Salih. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us beneficial knowledge which is coupled with righteous actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us taqwa and grant us firmness upon his deen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira.